Hey, Pastor Ben here with our continuing series through the book of Galatians. This week we are in chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. The last couple weeks we've been looking at Paul breaking down the Jewish believers' misguided attempts to try and have the Gentile believers convert to Judaism or follow different parts of the law. And last week specifically we saw that Paul is using Abraham as the example of faith-based righteousness, as well as calling him the father of the not just the Jewish believers, but also the Gentile believers. And so we'll see in today's passages that we are really focusing in again on this idea of faith versus the law. And so let's read, starting in verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So we see here that Paul is, again, strongly stating that there is no good that's coming out of living under the law, right? He opens this with saying that all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Now, curses are not something we necessarily think about in today's modern context, but essentially, the idea of a curse is the opposite of a blessing. And I think we can understand the idea of a blessing from God. And so this idea of this curse that Paul is quoting Deuteronomy several times in this section. So cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. It would be easy to see how the Jews could interpret then the idea that if you don't keep up with the law, you will be cursed. And yet we see in the very next statement by Paul that clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. This quote of Leviticus is actually found three different times in the New Testament. Here, it's found in Hebrews and it's found in Romans. And the emphasis here is the idea that the righteous will live by faith, right? We're trying to break away from the law makes us righteous. It doesn't. It just reveals sin, which Paul will get into more in the coming weeks. But the idea that there is no way to keep up with all the requirements of the law is vital to the understanding of why it's our faith in Christ that saves us. And Paul continues to focus on this idea of the law is not fulfilled through faith. Right, in the following verse, the law, verse 12, is not based on faith, but on the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Again, if you want to live by the law, he's saying, then you have to do it. You can't just try. You can't intend to or think that it's, as long as you're trying your best, it's okay. But you have to do every single thing to the letter in order to really, truly maintain and live that kind of life. And it's just not possible. And so then Paul takes that idea of the curse that comes from trying to live that way and shows us then just the beauty of the gospel in this. Because he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Now, this is important, right? It's not just that he redeemed us from the curse of the law by him taking on the curse and doing it because of his own issues, right? We know that Christ was perfect. And it's not that Christ was a curse for himself, but instead he was a curse for everyone else. Martin Luther says it this way. Paul does not say that Christ was made a curse for himself. The accent is on the two words "for us." Christ is personally innocent. He did not deserve to be hanged for any crime of his own doing, but because Christ took the place of others who were sinners, he was hanged like any other transgressor. All right, it's so important to realize the punishment that Jesus took on was something that we deserve because of our inability to complete the law and our choosing of things that God doesn't want for us. It's our sin that placed Christ on the cross, not his own. And we see at the end of that verse, Christ becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." It's interesting to note, the Jews themselves were not historically a people that used crucifixion as a way to kill people, to discipline people. But there was a tradition of someone being hung on a tree, exposed, a lot of the similarities to what we see happening in crucifixion, just left to the shame of their own nakedness, of just being exposed to the outdoors, right? The sun, the heat, the animals, the wind, water, whatever was happening, right? That you were not able to get yourself down. And it was such a severe curse that even in Leviticus, when we see that is being brought out, that it would have an end point, that it was not something that you stayed in overnight, but it was a very, very extreme form, right? Again, this idea of this curse is a heavy, big thing, and that picture of someone being hung on a tree is very much obviously pointing to then the way that Christ was hung on the cross, and the Jewish readers would have appreciated and made that connection of this Jewish tradition that's being played out in a slightly different way in the way that the Romans treated Christ. And then in verse 14, we have this hopeful idea, right? Christ, he redeemed us, right? Redeeming again being this idea of paying a price in order to obtain something, right? He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So he didn't redeem us just to remove the curse. That is part of it, and that's an important part of it, but it was also to take that curse and replace it with the blessing that was promised to Abraham. And so that means then, again, he's building a little bit off of what we talked about last week, that the blessing of Abraham isn't just for the biological bloodline children of Abraham, but we see through Christ, because he became a curse for all people, not just the Jews, that then the blessing that comes to Abraham through Christ is also available to the Gentiles. And the reason for that is so that by faith, again, pointing back to it's faith in Christ, it's faith, it's believing God, not just believing in him, not just having the background of having known of God or his law or whatever it might be, but that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Again, we'll see later in the letter that there's going to be a lot of discourse about the Spirit, but being able to point back to the idea that the Spirit of God isn't just inside the Jewish believers, it's inside the Gentile believers. It doesn't matter, because all of that comes from God and is the true marking, the true seal of the believer, not their background identity or how they were born, but how they've been reborn into the Spirit through Christ. And so we have to be careful ourselves today that we don't look for blessings, the blessings that they're talking about here, the opposite of the curse. It's not because of following the law, but we know that we want to live in a way that's pleasing to God. And we also have to understand this idea of the law has some different meanings here. You know, there were ceremonial laws that certainly don't apply to us today, but the heart behind it, that these were times of worshiping God do. And so following the law in that sense is not a bad thing, as long as we're not replacing that with the idea that our worship is getting us closer or earning us points on God's system. And then there was, you know, the civil law, which culturally some of those things would not have applied anymore. But again, certainly the heart behind it, the way that we treat other people, the way that we are living in our society, those laws and the laws that are imposed from society on us, right? We know in Romans that Paul talks about that issue. So following the law in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing, but letting that be the pursuit and the main goal of attempting to earn something through that is never going to work out. And then certainly here, when it's talking about the book of the law, it's this, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the very direct things that God said, hey, do this, don't do this. And those things, again, there's an obedient heart that comes behind following that law. And we see how Jesus has turned that upside down through the Gospels of, yes, I said don't murder, but if you hate your brother, it's as though you've murdered him. And so there is still a sense that moral law, as we become more like Christ, is something to adhere to, but not in the place of recognizing that law doesn't achieve for us salvation or sanctification. It's the work of Jesus in us. It's the work of the Spirit in us that brings us, as we work through those things, as we see in Hebrews, live to please God through our faith and the way that we live out our faith in light of Jesus' work in our lives. And so I hope as you go through this week that will be an encouraging reminder that we don't have to do every single thing right, but we desire to do well by God because he has done so much in us and is continuing to transform us and to just make us more like his son.